Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into the Word. Remain standing, and I want you all to turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah. Let's give the Holy Spirit a round of applause, for His presence is here. I said, let's give the Holy Spirit a round of applause. Woo! Luke chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to stand for the reading of the word. And as Bianca ministered so powerfully, in the last song we sang, second to last song, about God being able and God being willing, and God being stronger and greater. I want us to dive into the aspect of God that we're going to discover in this chapter, in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Right now, if there's any children in the room, we're going to have kids' church, so we're going to release our children to experience God in their way at kids' church. So if you have anyone under the age of 12, send them to the back so they can be ministered to. Luke 5, verse 12. Can we read the NIV together? Scripture reads this, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Amen. I want you to just bow your heads with me as we connect to God. And today we begin a new series called You Can Be Healed. You can be healed. And as I stand up here before you, I want to preach without the poison of skepticism or cynicism that this world throws at us. I want to reveal the scriptural promises and guarantee that healing is for every single person on this planet. That every one of you that's standing in this room today, you can be healed. And it's a guarantee. It's not my guarantee, it's the guarantee of God. And the limits of what we can experience in God starts with the limits we place on ourselves and the limits we place on Him. Limits that He has not placed on Him, but we place on Him through our own evil unbelief. And so as we begin to open up this series, my goal in this series is to not only teach you that you can be healed, but to also let you know that you can heal. That you can heal. You can heal others. And God actually intends for His church to be a place of healing. Amen. So Holy Spirit, thank you now for your glory that's in this room. We give you reverence, we give you honor, and we turn our eyes and our hearts away from ourselves and we place them on you. We don't just believe in miracles, we believe in the God of miracles. We don't just believe in healing, we believe in the God of healing. And as we connect to the God of healing, the God of miracles, we expect to see healing and miracles. Our hope and our faith and our trust is in you, Lord. You are the only person in this world that can be trusted. It is impossible for you to lie. And because of that, we're not going to doubt. For it is true that everyone deserves the benefit of being trusted before being doubted. And so, God, we will also give you that same right, that you deserve to be trusted. So expose our doubts. Expose our fears, our uncertainties. And we pray today, Father, that a new level of truth will spring up in our hearts that will cause us to walk out of this place empowered and free. Because your word declares that when we hear truth and we believe the truth and know the truth, we shall be set free. So thank you for truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands one more time. On your way down, slap five people. Give them a high five. And tell them, wake up to the truth. Some people probably need a slap, so wake up. Hallelujah. All right, guys, we're going to work today. I feel the same anticipation and excitement in my heart from when we, like, as when we did the Money Talk series. I knew by the time I stood up to begin to preach that something supernatural was going to happen during that series. And I feel the same way, the same weight on me right now as we begin this series. For those of you that don't know, one of my greatest passions and desires is to continue to see the reality of God's word played out in today's society, right? And along with that is the understanding that when you read the Gospels, let me read the whole Bible, but specifically when you read the New Testament and you focus in on, key in on the focus of the entire word, who is Jesus, it is impossible to read the Gospels and not see healing take place. Jesus went around, the Bible says, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead. And it was a essential and essential part of his ministry. That he healed the sick. He opened up blind eyes. We sing songs about it. And he opened up the deaf ears. And we sing songs about the fact that he made the leper walk. The lame walk. And he cleansed the lepers. And we sing these songs. And we celebrate and we dance, we sing, we shout, we get down and have a good time in church. But then we go outside and we still see the sick, the blind, the lame, the same way. In fact, you will go into most churches and our churches have become so infected with the spirit of powerlessness that we have in our churches sections for the blind, sign language ministries. We make room for the cripples to come in. And instead of actually ministering to them Jesus' way, we downgrade church to what's possible in our own strength. I heard a preacher say, who preached around the world, say, it's the easiest place to preach is in America. He said, because in America, there's no expectation for actual demonstration. In America, we have been so programmed and trained to just believe that a good word was a good preached word that got us to jump and clap our hands. But then no one puts a demand on you to actually see the supernatural happen to them. He said, when I go to Africa, when I go to Asia, they're coming for one reason, not to hear me preach, but so that they can actually experience the God I'm preaching about. So he said, America is easy to preach. As a matter of fact, you get a great offering just to come and preach without giving any demonstration. So I'll tell you, oh, God will heal you, and we'll go home and be excited about it, but then you'll never be healed. And Bianca preached a powerful word on Tuesday night here. If you guys miss out on Tuesdays, you miss a lot. And Bianca broke down. She talked about how the man who was paralyzed or lame for 38 years, who hung out by the pool of Bethesda, and there was, the Bible talks about how an angel would come and stir the water up every year, and that he could never make it to the water because he had nobody to carry him there. So for 38 years, while an opportunity for healing came, he could never reach it. And so one of the things that Bianca highlighted during this, the lesson, was the fact that in many cases, when Jesus came to him and asked him, do you want to be healed? We may think that that was a silly question. But the truth of the matter is, there are many people in this world today who are sick, who don't want to be healed. And she talked about how there are benefits today in this world for being sick. That the enemy has caused in this world that if you are sick, for example, you could get to stay home from work and get paid, right? Sick leave, got disability, to the point where we'll lie and say we're sick so we can stay home. There are benefits to sickness that it might be financially, it might be emotionally. Some people use sickness as a way to get attention. So they like the sympathy, and they like the people coming around them and giving them everything they want. And they'll be lying. No, nothing is wrong with them. But they just simply want attention. There are people that don't want to be healed. But the people that have no choice, the people who are not playing around with their health, the people who need God to heal them, because if they're not healed, they can't feed their families. If they're not healed, they cannot grow and do the things that God has put them here on this earth to do. The people that want to be healed, there is a guaranteed promise from God that you can be healed. Okay? And the question that we need to begin to pay attention to in the church world is that, again, if we are preaching the same message that Jesus Christ preached, why are we not seeing the same results that Jesus Christ saw while he preached it? I stand here before you boasting in the promise of God of healing that I've seen people. And if you hung around H4G camp, you've hung around our movement for some years, you may have seen it for yourself, where we've ministered to people and I've seen deaf ears opened. I've seen people who've battled all types of back diseases and back ailments and couldn't stand up straight, bend over. I've seen people with lupus and fibroids and different diseases healed after ministering to them, right? I've seen people who were with broken limbs or broken knees who had 20% strength in their body after prayer, get back 80 to 90% of it after prayer, only to have them go back and show yourself to the doctor and tell them, look what happened. Okay, now my journey into healing, ministry started with personal defeat. For those of you that don't know, I had a younger brother who passed away at the age of 17. And he was born with the palsy. The Bible talks about the palsy. He had cerebral palsy. He was born with it. The doctors gave him 3 years to live. Oh, I'm sorry. My dad is here. He could tell you better. What was it?
3 months.
Initially, he was premature, and due to medical malpractice at the hospital, he ended up receiving palsy. And so doctors gave him 3 months. He lived till he was 17. Amen. Due to our care, our nurture for him, but it was not an easy thing. And as he grew, and as he never spoke, he never walked, he never talked. I never got to play basketball with him, you know, do all the things that you would want to do with your younger brother. And when he passed away, I remember going into my room and challenging God and say, God, if you are a God of healing, why didn't you heal my brother? Why didn't you heal my brother? I believed in your word. I believed in healing, but why didn't I not see it happen for me? So when I went back to my room and asked God, I said, God, if you're real and if this Bible is real, why didn't you do this for me? I remember the Lord just simply reminding me of his promise, that although he passed away, I went back into the Gospels and I began to read every scripture I could find about healing. And as I read those scriptures, the Holy Spirit just said to me, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but basically what he showed me was, there is nothing on my end that I have left to do. I did everything for you or anyone else to be healed. Which meant that there was no lack on God's end of the equation. So as I went back to read what the Bible had to say about healing, the Holy Spirit began to highlight things in my life or areas in my life where I fell short, or things that I did not even know was in the Word. See, I didn't take time to study about healing. I didn't take time to get any revelation on it. I didn't take time. All I did was get up and say, well, I gave a little sympathy prayer to my brother, because I used to take care of him. I had to come home, leave school early, make sure I was home. And I tell most people today, I would not probably be here right now if it wasn't for my little brother, because it was the times that I had to come home to take care of him that I went home in my room and started reading my word and getting on the keyboard and began to play and worship, because I had nothing else to do. So it was like I gave that time that I had with him, and I began to just spend time with God as a result of that. And that was the times where I learned consecration. This is the time I learned the Bible for myself, when I was home, because my brother was home and I had to be home to get him from the bus. So it's amazing how God can take something that seems meaningless, or God can take the weak things or the disabilities of life and use that as something that can actually be paramount for your life. And what looked like defeat at that moment, when I didn't see God come through, quote unquote, for my brother's healing, I went back and I went on a 3 to 6 month study of the word on healing. And I began to say, Lord, now that I know what your word actually says about healing, I'm going to heal 7 people with palsy. What's that? There was a holy righteousness that started coming up in me, a vengeance in my heart. I said, God, I didn't get to see my brother healed, but I'm going to see other people who with this condition healed. I remember going back one day and I said, Lord, I'm praying now for healing. Let me know when it's time to heal. So I was praying every day. I would go home and ask God, God, give me an anointing so that I can go out and begin to heal other people, because I wanted to take vengeance on what the devil stole from me. So I'm saying, God, tell me, how can I heal? Who can I heal? Tell me, give me an opportunity. And I would be going home on a train, and I'll see sick people next to me. And I'm like, God, I want to see him healed. I want to see this person healed. And I would go home and ask God, God, why didn't you let me heal this person? Everybody I saw around me that was sick, I was like, I wanted to jump in and just begin to minister to them, because I'm reading all this stuff and I'm like, well, if you say it's true, I want to do it. So then I got home and I said, God, I want to see you heal. God said, well, when are you going to lay hands? Because that's what I told you to do. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I was thinking that, well, something supernatural was going to happen in my room. I thought I was going to have a vision where Jesus was going to step into my room and then tell me, now it's time for you to heal. I thought I was going to have a dream or something where I was going to wake up and my hands would be glowing and I would know now is the chance, now I got the anointing or the power to heal. That's what I was waiting for. All the Holy Spirit said was to me, when are you going to lay hands on them? And so from that point on, everybody that I saw on the train, if I could get my hands to you, I laid hands on you. Everywhere I went. And I just began to pray. The first few times, nothing happened. So I thought, nothing happened. But I remember that one time I met a guy on the street. Laid my hands on him. I forgot. We had a little conversation. I told him. I said, I noticed that you were limping. He smelled like alcohol. He was a little drunk. So I don't know if he was limping because of the alcohol or his leg was messed up. But all I knew was that he looked like he needed healing. And so I stood by him. I stood next to him and said, I want to pray for you that you'll be healed. Long story short, laid my hands on this guy. As I ministered to him, after I prayed for like 30 seconds, he was like, what the F is this? That's what he said. What the F is this? The kids are in the other room. And he was like, what was that? I feel different. I said, that's the power of God. Yeah. He said, well, pray for me again. And after I prayed for him, the limp was gone. Hallelujah. The stench was gone. Yes. The alcohol. Wow. He sobered up. He began to tell me about how he used to go to church when he was a kid and all this stuff. But God healed that man right there. Yeah. And since then, that's when I went on and I began to see people with all sorts of conditions, diseases, healed through the power of God. It didn't come easy for me. And if my brother was not in the condition, he was a passion to pursue healing that way. It takes disappointment to make us get to a place where we get this holy anger in our hearts. Yes. Where we want to take vengeance. Where we want to see vengeance. Come on, anybody lost anybody that you want to see vengeance? Yes. Right? The Bible says when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can take vengeance. And so I went back and I want to just show you some things from the Word of God, this series. Because this is actually the first time I've ever taught on healing. Out of over 12 years of teaching and preaching, I've never actually did a series on healing. So I'm excited about this because I know God is going to open up. Like I said, you'll be healed in the process, but you're also going to be equipped. You're also going to be anointed. You're going to be empowered. You're going to have the faith to go out into your world and actually preach the same gospel that Jesus preached, the same good news that always was accompanied with healing and miracles. You cannot preach the true gospel and no power be present. For the gospel is the power of God, the Bible says. But what's the gospel? It's the good news. So here's the two things that God needed to show me about this good news. Number one, we call it grace. We call the gospel grace. The gospel of grace. And so you need to understand what grace is all about. I want you to write this down. So there are two aspects to grace that you must know. Number one, grace is the unconditional acceptance of God. It is the unconditional acceptance. It is the unmerited, unearned favor of God. When we talk about grace, we're talking about the fact that God wants to favor you and God wants to favor his people and God desires to save all. God desires to bless all. God desires to heal all. That God is not excluding anyone. That grace is for everyone. Amen? Amen. So we understand that God is unconditionally accepting people. That he's inclusive about his love, not exclusive. That God is not saying there are certain people that can get blessed and others can't. Certain people can be healed, but others can't be healed. No, God's grace is for everyone. Amen. See, if you don't understand that, then you begin to deny people the privilege and the opportunity of stepping into the grace of God so that they can experience what God has for them. Amen. The Bible says that we are saved by what? Grace. We are saved by grace, not of works that anyone should boast. But it is the gift of God. The word saved in the Greek is the word sozo, which means to be healed, to be made whole, to be delivered. To be healed, to be made whole, or to be delivered. So when the Bible says, for we are saved by grace, it also means that we are healed by grace. We are delivered by grace. We are made whole by grace. Not of works that anyone should boast. Come on. So the one aspect about grace you need to know is that it's all about God's acceptance and God's love and God's favor for us. And then the second aspect of grace you need to know is that grace is God's empowerment. It's God's ability. It's God's strength. It is God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Okay? This is the part many people don't know about. They hear about the grace of God and they talk about his love and they talk about his forgiveness, but then they don't understand that God also gave us his empowerment, his spirit, so that his empowering presence is with us at all times to give us the capabilities and the capacity to do what we could not do before we knew him. So once you understand the grace of God, you understand that you are loved immeasurably, you are loved unconditionally, but you also need to realize that God is also empowering you to do what you could not do before him. So this is why when I hear believers talk about they can't lay hands and they can't heal people, then they don't know the grace of God because you're not healing anybody based on your own strength. When people say, I can't cast out devils, it's because they are trying to do it in your own strength. You can't cast out a devil. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you have the authority to. Okay? When you limit yourself and disqualify yourself because you think about what you can do, or you think about your education, you think about what other people have said about you, then you're not thinking along the lines of his grace. But everything that we're doing today, the Bible says it is by grace. Your entire Christian life is all by grace. The Bible talks about how Jesus was full of grace and truth. Amen. And you must be full of grace and truth as well. Mm-hmm. So another thing people don't know about grace is that grace works through truth. If you don't know truth, then you won't be able to experience the grace of God. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is a lie that many people still walk around with is, a lie that many of us walk around with is that, well, I'll pick one, like, I'm only human. I'm only human. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. Okay? Do you know that's a lie? Hello? It's a lie for you to think that you're only human if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. All right? So once you become a son or a daughter of God, you're no longer just human. That means you're no longer just natural. It means that you're no longer just bound to your flesh. It means that you're no longer just limited by your human abilities. It means that now the Spirit of God, who we talked about, unlimited in all his wonder, who power belongs to, now lives in you and is empowering you to do what you can't do in your own strength. So if you believe the truth of who you are, there is a grace that will now come inside of you to actually live the way that God wants you to live. But if you don't believe that truth, there will be no grace to experience, to allow you to live up to the truth that you now believe. So that's why it's, for you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Remember, in John chapter 1, the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and what? Truth came through Jesus. Romans 8:3 tells us that the law itself, there was nothing wrong with the law, but the law was weak through the flesh. It was weak through human ability or through the natural man. We can't live up to the standards of God in our own strength. So God had to now give us his empowerment, his spirit, so that we can live the way he expects us to live. I want to tell you another lie. Many of you, another lie that many of us believe is that getting sick is normal. So if I believe that getting sick is normal, I have no grace to actually fight off sickness from my life. Have you ever said that? It's normal, sickness is normal. Everybody gets sick. It's just a way of life. Right? Come on. See, the truth is going to offend you today. But I told you, you have to get offended. If the truth doesn't offend you, you probably didn't hear truth. The truth will offend you. Let me tell you something. Sickness, let me tell you where sickness came from. Let's go back to the garden, Genesis chapter 1. When God created Adam and Eve, did he create them sick?
No.
All right. So he did not create them to be sick, neither did he create them sick. Now, how did sickness enter into the human race? Genesis 3 tells us, the day you eat of this tree, you will what? Surely die. The day Adam and Eve sinned, sickness entered in along with them. Disease entered in along with it. So, if sickness comes from sin, then to embrace sickness in my life is to just is equally of me embracing sin in my life. Think about it. So when Christ came to free us from sin, he also came to free us from anything else that is extent that has an attachment to sin. If sickness also came in with sin and Christ died for my sins, he also died for my sickness. Right? So I can now attest that if I'm free from sin, I'm also free from what? Sickness. Come on. If you are free from sin, you are free from your sickness. But watch this. In the church world, we still entertain sin. So if we make room for sin, we're also making room for everything else that comes along with sin. So if I teach you that you are now free from sin, you are the righteousness of God, it now means that you are free from sickness, and because of your righteousness in him, you are also free from sickness and sin. You don't have to accept or embrace it. So if I say I'm only human and we sin, then that also means, well, I'm only human, I get sick too.
Yeah.
What sicknesses are we allowed to keep? Because we will say, like, you know, there's like big sickness and little sickness, you know? Just like we got big sin and little sin. It's just a cold. Oh, it's just a headache. Everybody gets headaches. Remember when Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Mark 9. What's Mark 9:23, Dad? I can't remember. Yes, all things are possible. There it is. Go ahead, Sharita. All things are possible for them who what?
Believe.
All things are possible for them who?
Believe.
All things are possible for them who believe. Which means that my beliefs determine my possibilities. If I believe it's okay to be sick, I will be sick because it's okay to me. Right? If I believe that it's okay to be broke, I will be broke. You will actually begin to find excuses as to why you are broke. See, we find ways to justify what we believe. Do you know that? We find ways to self-justify why we are where we are. And these excuses keep us imprisoned. So when the truth wants to break you out of the prisons that you knew, you have to be willing to say, I'm not going to hold on to the keys of what I used to lock myself in or what I used to keep myself in. So when somebody has put you in a prison and said, oh yeah, you were born with this condition, you're going to have this all your life, that was a prison that they put you in. But once you know the truth, it has the power to break you out of that condition. Come on. See, this is why Jesus came to preach good news to the sick and good news to the poor. What's good news to the sick? You don't have to be sick. You can be healed. What's good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor. You can be rich. Come on. All things are possible to them who believe. If I believe, it's not possible for me to sick. You know what begins to happen? Every cell in your body begins to adjust to the truth you just said. Once you start confessing who God says you are and what God says you have, what God says you can be, what God says you can do, you know what happens? Your body begins to adjust to what you believe. This is why the first line of immunity in your life is your beliefs. If you want to be healthy, you got to start with having healthy beliefs. And a healthy belief says, I'm a child of God. We don't get sick.
Yes. Come on.
Amens are too low. I'm a son of God. There's no sickness in heaven. Therefore, there's no sickness on earth. There's no sickness on me.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I told you about when I had migraine headaches. My father could tell you. I used to get these excruciating headaches. Just like how I'm preaching, you see that light on my eye? A number of years ago, that would have took me out. Because light like that, and me preaching or doing something like this, it will cause it will cause those migraines to flare up. I'll play outside playing basketball, I'll come back or run in track, and I will be knocked out. I tell my dad, I need a Tylenol, I need a migraine, I need an Excedrin or something for my head. And I remember I told you guys, I think I shared this story with some of you. I went home one day. I remember reading a word when I was in that same journey process of learning about healing. I began to say, well, there's no headaches in heaven. You said that we should pray for things to be in earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't have migraines. So why should I have this in my body? And I began to worship in my room that day. And I just began to praise God in the middle of a migraine. I said, oh God, I'm going to praise you until I don't feel this pain no more.
Yes.
And I just got in my room, I worshiped, got on my knees. I kneeled down, my head was hurting, but I just went through it. And at some point, I forgot that I was what I was worshiping about. I just was worshiping. And by the time I got up, the headache was gone. And I learned a secret right there. Watch this. And Jesus began to show me. He said, whenever my presence becomes more real than your sickness, you will be healed. You know what the Bible says? Call on the name of the Lord. You know why you got to keep calling? It's because he's trying to get you more conscious of him than you are about your condition. So as soon as immediately when you realize that who he is greater than what you got, everything in your life has to change. When Jesus becomes more real than your sickness, you get healed. That's why you have to take your mind off of it. You take your mind off your conditions. When you get in worship, that's what's happening. Yeah. The presence of God is beginning to become more real to you. Yeah. That's why people get healed in worship. Yeah. Anybody had an experience like that? Yeah. People get delivered in worship. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we're going to teach you. I'm going to teach you all that stuff later on. But let me give you the main point I wanted to share today. Luke 5, verse 12. Jesus saw this man. This man was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell and said, Lord, if you are what? Willing. If you are what? Willing. All right. So I want you to make note of this. Highlight that if you can. Many times people confuse God's willingness with their worthiness. Jesus. This man, notice, he said, if you're willing, I can be clean. Which means that his cleanness or his healing was conditional to the willingness of God. He didn't know how willing Jesus was, so he never received his healing. But the minute Jesus revealed that he was willing, then he was healed. Let me tell you something. 90% of people in this world that are sick remain sick because they don't know how willing God is to heal them. They have uncertainty in their hearts. See, you can't come boldly to the throne of grace and expect to receive anything from God if you are doubting whether or not God's promises is true for you. You cannot claim a promise that you don't know is true for you. We will believe that God is a healer for the person across the room. We will believe that God is a healer for the person next door, but we will be slow to believe and accept whether or not God wants to be this for ourselves because of that thing, that sin consciousness and guilt consciousness and this bad theology that many of us probably grew up hearing that God wants to teach you a lesson on humility by keeping you sick. Or we give all these different bogus ideologies in which we put on God this thing that, oh, God wants to cause you to be sick in order to make you more holy. Tell me in scriptures when we've seen anybody become more righteous, more holy because of a sickness or a disease. It's not in there. Because the only way you can be holy is by being with the one who is holy. God doesn't teach you humility by making you sick. Let me know. Show me a father who makes their kids sick to teach them a lesson. If you knew a father injected their kid with a disease to teach them a lesson, what we would do in the natural? Call ACS, call the police. God is a father. And he only has good gifts to give his children. If we being evil know how to give good gifts to our kids, How much more good is our Father to know to give us good gifts? If you ask for bread, will he give you a serpent? And what did we learn last week? Bread is healing, deliverance. If you ask for healing, he will not give you something else. Jesus said, give us this day our daily what? Bread. Come on, church. Health is a daily reality for you. God wants you to move past divine healing to divine health. God wants you to walk in health every single day of your life. And if you're in this room right now and you have a condition or sickness of any manner, I don't care what it is, I want to show you a truth in this word. Jesus said, I am willing. Anytime you see I am, he's talking about an identity. The Lord said, I am willing. That is part of my name. I am willing. If you ever wondered what's the will of God for life, because this is another thing people use to confuse themselves about. Is it the will of God for me to be healed? Or is it the will of God for me to get healed now? Maybe he wants me to get healed next year. Is it God's will for me to be healed now? Yeah. Anybody ever heard this stuff? We'll pray for somebody and we're like, well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to heal them now. So anybody know what a will is? What's a will? What's that? A paper of entitlement. A legal document. And what does a will reveal? What's your portion? What's yours? Let me show you something about your Bible. The Bible is broken down into two sections, an Old Testament and a New Testament. Do you know what a testament is? A word. The word testament is will. So when you read the Bible, you're not just reading a book, you're reading a will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are reading God's will. So if a woman had a wealthy husband and that wealthy husband died and that woman wants to come to you and say, I don't know what my husband left me. What is she supposed to do? Go and read the will to find out what the husband left for you. The testator dies to release the will. So the Bible says Jesus is the testator of the New Testament. When he died, it was to now release to us something that God has already reserved for his children. So when we see the New Testament and we read the account of Jesus in the Gospels, what we are actually seeing is an illustration of God's will for man. What is God willing to do for us? What is in his will? Is healing in the will of God? I said, is healing in the will of God? Did Jesus Christ die in order to shed his blood to release the will for us today? So once we know that the will is now available, I have to now go and claim what's in the will in order to have it. That woman who asked about her rich husband's will, until she goes and knows what's in it, she doesn't know what she got. And so many of us as believers today, we are questioning whether or not healing is God's will because we don't spend time in the will to know it. So we're uncertain. If I can claim, can I claim healing for my condition? Can I claim healing for this sickness? The answer is yes. And amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Jesus is willing, church. He is willing to make you clean. He is willing to make you whole. He is willing to heal you. And it doesn't have to, it's not a fight anymore because it's already freely given to us. Let me give you a few more verses and we're done. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let them ask in faith, nothing wavering. For they that waver are like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not those who waver think that they shall receive anything from the Lord. The Bible shows us, once people are fully convinced that God wants to heal them and that it is not God's will for them to be sick, They almost can receive healing when prayed for anytime they ask, because knowing God's will concerning sickness provides the ground on which perfect faith can act. If I'm wavering or doubting or questioning, then I can never ask in faith. And if I don't ask in a way, the Bible says I can't expect to receive anything. Let me show you another verse. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 verse 13. I think I'm gonna end around here. Hebrews 6 verse 13. Watch this. I love this. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface in it, but it's just so good. Watch this. Verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Now, if you read the New Testament or you read your will, you will realize the Bible calls you the descendants of Abraham. The Bible calls you the sons of Abraham, which means that you have been blessed along with Abraham. Now watch this. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. I'll read that again. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Basically means that you remember this when you was a kid or you was arguing with your friend and your friend didn't believe you. You was telling them that you knew Michael Jordan and they didn't believe you. And then you said, oh, I swear on my mother that I knew Michael Jordan. When a person said, I swear on my mother, you stop arguing. It meant that the argument was over. You swore on your mother, or I swear on my dead grandmother. Whatever you said, that meant if you swore on somebody greater than you, that meant that we're not arguing anymore. Right? That's what you do. That's the point of an oath. You swear so that it brings an end to all arguments. Now, if they was lying, that's on them, between them and their dead grandmother. But all you know is you said your grandmother. I got nothing to do with that anymore. But watch this. The Bible says people swear on someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms that what they have said, and it puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Now, God has no one else to swear higher than himself. So God's saying, I swear that I will bless you. God says, I surely desire to heal you. I swear that I will do this. It is a guarantee, because there's no one higher than God to confirm to. He cannot do, and he cannot make a bigger promise to you. Come on. God cannot swear to anybody else higher than himself. So if you don't believe, there's nothing on him anymore. The pressure is not on him. Now he says, look, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So there's two unchangeable things: God himself, and then two, the fact that he can't lie. His word. His word. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's already settled in God's heart. What he wants to do for you. What his will is for your life. The question is it settled in you? And once you receive certainty of the promise of God, healing becomes a guarantee. companies today say, if you're going to buy something from me, I'm so confident in my product that I'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Right? Because the guarantee is an oath. It says that my product will work. My product will fulfill what it said it will fulfill. God in his word made an oath. He made a guarantee that I will heal you.
Yes.
I will bless you.
Yes.
I will cause that which is wrong in your life to be made good.
Hallelujah.
Numbers 23:19
yes.
says what?
Yes.
Numbers 23:19. You got to know your will. You got to know what's in the will. Watch this. God is not a man that he should. God is not a man that he should. Lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Whatever God has spoken to, he will make good. God has already spoken over your situations. He has already spoken over your sickness and says, you can be healed. I am willing. You can be clean. You can be made whole. Now, are you going to reach and touch? What he said, what do you claim? What God says you can claim.
Jesus.
See, and if you're not sick in this room, this is not only for you, this is for your family members, your relatives, your neighbors, your co-workers that are sick who don't know this truth. And it's your job to introduce them to the God of healing,
yeah.
The God of miracles. Come on, the God of salvation.
Hallelujah.
The days are coming when you can just tell people about Jesus and say, hey, come to church. No, they ain't gonna come to church. You got to bring the church to them. You got to bring the power of God to them. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Is God a respecter of persons?
No.
So will he heal one person and not heal another?
No.
He heals whosoever believes. John 3:16. He so loves the world. This is a universal promise. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. See, we think we all going to die one day, so I got to get sick one day. You don't have to die because of sickness. I like that. You don't have to die by way of sickness. The Bible says Moses lived, and the Bible says his eyes never went dim. The Bible says he had all his strength. Moses was so healthy in the glory of God that God had to come to Moses and say, Moses, it's time for you to die. Read it. God had to tell Moses to die. He had all his strength. He didn't die because he got weak and sick and died. He didn't have to die at the moment he did. But God just said, it's time for you to go now.
Yeah.
It's Joshua's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you can live and live and live and live and live until God says it's time for you to go. God, Jesus came to give you life, church, and life more abundantly. Come on, we speak life, the Bible says. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Come on, let nothing that tears down, that breaks down, that causes faithlessness to rise in you.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.